Matthew chapter 7. We're all going somewhere when we die. We're going to heaven or we're going to hell. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. And I've titled the message, Don't Miss Jesus. Let's read Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 through 23. A passage no doubt you know, you've read before, you've heard preached before. The title of the message is Don't Miss Jesus. And I want to say, in all of your doing, in all of your living, in all of your religious life, whatever you do, don't miss Jesus. Because He's the foundation of everything. We read here in this passage about some people that missed Jesus, but they had a lot of other stuff. Look at Matthew 7, verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Now, Jesus said those that won't go, and he also said those that will go. In verse 22, many. See that word many? It's not the same as few. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord. It's the same thing in verse 21. Same words. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Our gracious Father, I pray that today, Lord, as I bring this word, that you might put your strength in it, your power. And Lord, I pray that the Spirit of God might be able to take your words that are spoken, in order that you might bless the conviction of sin and helping us to understand, Lord, the things about this passage we need to see. Help me to bring it out. Bless and keep us, Father, that your name be glorified. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. We'll notice some things, and this is a tragic passage, because at this point, when Jesus Christ makes this, He is stating about a future time, because He says in verse 22, many will say to me in that day. All right? So when that day comes, it's too late to do anything to fix what's wrong. But Jesus is speaking to people that have not yet arrived at that day. All right? So He's telling folks, you need to be right. You need to be right more than just what you do on the outside, more than just works, but you need to be right. There are some questions here to ask. In verse 21, why did Jesus say, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Why did Jesus say that and did not say, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? Another thing, in verse 23, why did Jesus say that these people had done iniquity when they thought they had done a lot of good works? And they had done things in the name of and in the power of Jesus Christ. You see, in verse 22, they said, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? That little phrase, in thy name. We've done this in your power. We've done this in your authority. And in thy name have cast out devils. Isn't that good? I would think so. And in thy name done many wonderful works. They didn't do anything in their own name. They always profess the name of Christ. All right? So those two things we want to cover among some other things. But I want to say here in verse 22 concerning this word many. And as I look out today on this congregation, I believe I'm looking into the eyes of those people that are believers. Most of you. But I know that some of you are not yet believers. But look, Jesus said, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, and begin to spill off to the Lord all the things that they have done. But the difficulty there is that they missed Jesus Christ. They missed the foundation. They did a lot of good things. There's no doubt about that. But they had a lot of good stuff on the outside. But on the inside, there was nothing. They was full of dead men's bones. I mean, you see that? Because there's a difference in doing things on the outside and having Jesus on the inside. They did a lot of things on the outside. But they didn't have Jesus on the inside. Notice in verse 13, Jesus said this, and this passage is, in my mind, in conjunction with the word many, although there's other points here. He says, enter ye in at the straight gate. This is Jesus Christ making this command. Enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Oh, listen, are you going to be some of those few that find the way of everlasting life, that straight and narrow way? Or will you be among the many that go down the broad way that leads to destruction? But the whole issue is, what are you going to do with Jesus? I want you to think about this. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You know what men say? Men don't say that. Men say, there's lots of ways to get to heaven. Men say, there's lots of things that a person can do. And it's always stuff they do on the outside. But they miss Jesus. Now, Jesus, you understand, might be included in their terminology. But He's excluded from inside them. There's a lot of religions today that include Jesus in their terminology. But they don't trust Jesus. They trust something else. I'm thinking about those people that say, you must be baptized in order to be saved. Do they ever talk about Jesus? Well, sure they do. You hear them on the radio all the time. And they'll talk about Jesus, and they'll talk about His blood sometimes. But is that what they're trusting in? No, they're trusting in what they do. See in verse 22, these people carry the name of Jesus with them. They say, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in Thy name? And in Thy name have done many, cast out devils, and in Thy name have done many wonderful works? You see how these people carry the name of Jesus with them? But what are they trusting in? They're trusting in what they've done. And when they trust in what they've done, they're going down that broad way that leadeth to destruction. But how many ways of salvation is there? There's only one. That's worldwide. Whether a person is a Muslim or a Hindu or a Buddhist or a Baptist, there's only one way. Whether a person has ever heard it or not, there's still one way. There's only one way. You see what Christ said there in verse 13 and verse 14. There is a broad way that leadeth to destruction, and many are going in thereat. But there's a narrow way, and few there be that find it. And Jesus Christ is that narrow way. It'd be a horrible, horrible thing to live your life thinking you were saved and wind up in the flames of eternal hell. And you can't ever get out. You can never get out. When a person goes to hell, they'll never get out. But if you go to hell, you won't get out either. That's why it's so important to get this right and not miss Jesus. Because a lot of people can live a lot of good lives, but if they don't have Jesus, they're going down that broad way. You see what's important? In verse 21, 22, and 23, these folks missed Jesus Christ. Now, question number one is in verse 21. We understand, he says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. We understand that. Because the words you say is not what saves you. Now, a lot of people believe that. They honestly believe that. The words you say is what saves you. There's a lot of people that believe that if I can just remember the time, then that's enough. Some people say, you know, I was saved a long time ago. That's good. That's good. But look what Jesus said. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Why did Jesus say that? Why did Jesus say, you got to do the will? Why didn't Jesus say, all you got to do is believe? Why didn't Jesus say here, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter in the kingdom of heaven, but he that believes on me? Why didn't Jesus say that? Isn't that what salvation is? Is this trusting in Christ? Is it not true that the world is full of folks that trusted Christ 38 years ago? And they're not doing anything for the Lord? They're not doing the will of the Lord? I believe sometimes that salvation is preached in such a shallow fashion, on a surface, that a lot of it's left out. And Jesus included it here. Listen, don't miss Jesus. Because if you don't have Jesus, it don't make any difference what else you do. But Jesus said, you need to do the will of my Father, which is in heaven. What he's saying here is that you need to make sure you're right. Now let me read you something. The book of 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. You can keep your place here in the book of Matthew. We're going to come back eventually. In 1 Peter chapter 1. Oh, pardon me. 2 Peter chapter 1. I thought that looked a little funny. 2 Peter chapter 1. Verse 10. Jesus Christ is admonishing His followers in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 7, that they need to be right about their eternal destiny. I want to say right here, before we read this place, it's always good to examine whether you're saved or not. Don't be afraid to examine whether you're saved or not. You say, well, I'm a little bit nervous about that because I might find out I'm not. Well, do you want to find out now that you're not or later when you're not, like when you're in hell? You want to find out then? Anybody volunteer to find out then? Or would you rather examine it now? Because in that day, it's too late. So don't be afraid to examine yourself. I know it makes you a little bit nervous. It's kind of like going to the doctor. You know, and you got that ache until you go to the doctor and then it mysteriously goes away. Now, it don't happen to you, right, but it does to me. Okay. Well, I go to the doctor, I'm always fine. Okay. But it's better to go and find out for sure. Now, look what it says in 2 Peter 1 in verse 10. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fail. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, verse 10 and 11, well, actually, verse 11 is what we really want. Verse 11 is what we want. Because when we die, and we all want to die a real good Christian death, right? We all want that. Not only do we want to die a good Christian death, we want that abundant entrance into heaven. We want to die with songs of praise on our lips, and we want to see Jesus, and we want to have eternal peace and happiness when we get to heaven. That's what we want. We all want that. We don't want to miss anything. But notice in verse 10, that precedes verse 11, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence, he says. That word diligence means you better try. I mean, that word diligence means try. Do not fool yourself, because in that day it'll be too late. You need to know now. Give diligence to make your calling and election sure. And here's the thing. Make your calling. Did God call you, or did you just call yourself? Is God touching you? Make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fail. And here's the thing. It's a little bit nerve-wracking to take your Bible in your hand and with a prayer in your heart and to examine whether you're really saved or not. Now listen, you can find comfort. I'm going to tell you the truth. You can find a false comfort in something that maybe happened years ago. But Jesus said, "But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." Why did Jesus say that? Because if you're trusting in something that happened a long time ago, and you're not doing the will of the Father now, something's wrong. Because salvation is deeper than an experience. Salvation is more than something that happened a long time ago. That's what Jesus is saying. That's part of what He's saying. And part of what He's saying is that if you're trusting in yourself, regardless of the works you have now, you're still trusting in the wrong thing. It all boils down to this, that you have to trust in Jesus. Now, I want you to see something here. In Peter, here in the book of 2 Peter, Peter approached the subject of making sure you're saved exactly the same way that Jesus did. It just took him more words to get there. Because Peter actually expounded. He enlarged upon the same thought that Christ had on his mind. Now, if you go back up and you start reading in the 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning reading in verse 1 there, he talks about salvation in verse 1. Now, I'm not going to read all this to you, because you can read that. You see, he talks about in verse 1, we have obtained like precious faith. In verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied. That's what God gives unto us. In verse 3, according as His divine power has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness. So God has given to us everything, and it starts at salvation. It starts in that time. But we need to do the will of God afterwards. Notice what he says here in verse 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. What's that about? That's talking about after salvation. You see, a lot of the modern religious today, religious world, they've got a salvation experience that's true or false. But people have not done anything for God since. And then they try, by their preaching, to get these people that's not been regenerated but have an experience to believe in Christ, and it can't happen. But Peter writes that we need to make our calling and election sure. Because if we make our calling and election sure, we shall never fail. Therefore, we shall have this abundant entrance into that other day that is to come. And that's what Peter is starting down the subject here in verse 1 through verse 9. And he gives us, he says, you got all these promises to live by. And then he talks about in verse 5, adding to your faith virtue and knowledge and temperance and all these things that you add. In verse 9, of course, he says, if you don't add these things, then you're blind. You cannot see afar off. You've forgotten that you was purged from your old sins. If you were, I would add that. Brother Roscoe Braun was a pastor over in Lexington many, many years ago. He's gone to be with the Lord now. But he had a person that came to him questioning their salvation. And he told him some pretty wise things. And I thought about what he said quite a bit. But the person says, I know that I trusted the Lord a long time ago. And Brother Braun says, who you trust in now? Is it any different? Is it any different? So, I've grown up. You've grown up so much you don't need to trust Christ? See, don't miss Jesus. Don't miss Him at all, because that is the most important thing of all. Go back to Matthew chapter 7. Jesus said, we need to do the will of the Lord. You know, a lot of people say this. Jesus said, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. And people say, but I don't know what the will of the Lord is. I don't want to be cruel here, but I want to say, why not? Why don't you know what the will of the Lord is? You say, well, the will of the Lord, that's a mystery. I just can't understand it. Would you mind if I read a passage to you? Because if you say you cannot understand the will of the Lord, I want to read this to you. The book of Ephesians, chapter 5. Ephesians, chapter 5. And verse 17. And couple all these passages together. Let these all be linked together. Ephesians 5 and verse 17. The Bible said, "Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." Who's Paul writing to? He's writing to saved people. Listen, what God is saying in Matthew chapter 7, what Christ is saying, and He is God, and what Paul is saying and what Peter is saying, is that you can know the will of the Lord. You can know what His will is. So, I can't understand what the will of the Lord is. Did you ever just take the Bible down and see if you could find what the will of the Lord is? Anybody ever done that? Nobody has. I'm going to give you an assignment. Why don't you take your Bible and look it up? And see if you can find any place in the Bible, anywhere, that says what His will is. You're looking at me like, you really doing that? Evidently, nobody's looked it up. So you ought to. You ought to look it up. I think you'll be pleasantly surprised to find that the will of God is not such a hidden thing after all. It's not something that is impossible to discover. I will read you one. I might read you a couple of them. I'm just kind of picking these off of my brain now, so I might have to rummage around to get them. In the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, in verse 18. Here's one. And while you're turning there, that's in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18. While you're turning there, let me ask you this additional question. What does all this have to do with the message, "Don't miss Jesus"? It's because Jesus said, "He that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." And if you don't know what the Father's will is, now, how can you be right with God? 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 18. This is just one of the places. There are several of them. He said this: "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." All right? That's one of them. And that's not the only one. But there's some real practical things there. In everything, give thanks. Don't just thank God for the good that you think is good. Thank God for all of it. See, what's that got to do with salvation? It has to do with making our calling and election sure. It has to do with believing. Listen, it has to do with believing and trusting God. Not what you do. You're trusting what God is doing in you. And you're trusting God whether the circumstance is for you or against you. You're just trusting God, whether it's good news or bad news. In everything, give thanks. Now, I will tell you that it's real easy to thank the Lord for the raise or for the rain. But I have a little trouble thanking God for the bad stuff. I was telling Cecil Mary the other day when I was over there about that rain we got. and how that my garden was still wet from it. And he was saying, what rain? And he was just like, I was never land. Well, later I discovered, maybe that same day, that my garden was still wet. Not only was it wet, it was just wet on one end, so it only rained on one end. And it was standing in water. And this morning I took a little walk out in the yard, and the water is, it's raining so much on my little garden spot there, on one end of it, that the water's run almost down to the woods on the north side of the house. So I can thank the Lord. Well, I say, we got a water leak out there. But I'm thinking about that one we had a couple of years ago that was on the other side of the house that ran all the way down to the driveway. That was getting in the house. Can you see what I'm saying is that it's easy sometimes to thank the Lord for the good things, but believers will thank the Lord for the things we think is bad. And one of the last things I want to do is get out there and play in the mud. And listen, it's going to be muddy. Big time. But what is this that God's talking about? What's He talking about? Christ, He's saying, I want you to do more than just trust me back somewhere. But I want you to trust me every day. I want you to trust me in every way. I want you to trust me with everything. That's what He's saying. Back in Matthew chapter 7, verse 23. There's a couple of things here I want to notice. Matthew chapter 7, verse 23. Jesus answered and said this, and then, see that word then in verse 23, Matthew 7, 23, and then, not now, but then. And you think today that God is kind of a silent God and He doesn't relate to us perhaps in some of the things that we do, but God knows exactly what's going on in our minds and our lives and all of that. But God, Jesus Christ, did not profess unto them while they were living. He professed unto them when they were dead. I never knew you. See, wow, that's cruel. No, it's not cruel. Jesus said, through Peter, make your calling and election sure. The sinner has to realize before God that they're lost. And they have to come to Jesus Christ and accept the gift that He has. They've got to humble themselves before the Lord and come and just trust the Lord, period. Nothing held back. That's why Jesus said, in that day and then will I profess unto them. That's going to be a new thing to them. That's why He said today, make your calling and election sure. That's our responsibility to do that today. Jesus said, I never knew you. Jesus did not say, you don't know me. Because these people did know the name of Jesus. They had done these works in Jesus' name. But there's a difference between these people knowing Jesus and Jesus knowing them. Now you may be sitting here today and you say, well, Jesus knows me. Well, how do you know He knows you? And you have to get that from the Bible. You'll have to get your answer from the Bible. Not from a feeling, but rather from the Bible. Are you trusting Jesus? Notice something else in verse 23. Jesus said, I never knew you. Depart from me. You leave me alone. Now, you just get away. Then He says, ye that work iniquity. I want you to see here that that all the works that these people considered good, Jesus said was iniquity. Jesus said it was not good works. Because these lost people did not do good works at all before the Lord. The Bible says about a lost person that all of their righteousnesses are as a filthy rag before the Lord. You know what it all comes down to? Listen, don't miss Jesus. In all of your living, in all of your going about your business, in all of your plans, don't miss Jesus. Because Jesus Christ is the foundation of everything else. Jesus is the end. He's the beginning. He's the Alpha and Omega. Today, if you're lost, you need Jesus. And if you're saved, you need Jesus. Don't miss Jesus. Don't go about doing your own thing. You need Jesus. That's what you need. I'm going to stop right there. I pray that God would bless His Word. I pray today that if you're lost, that you might, by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, Him bothering you and showing you, that you might come to know that you are lost and that you need Jesus Christ. And He says unto you, come. Come unto Me, and I'll give you rest. And He can do that. But you need to come to Him. Repent of your sins and trust Jesus Christ that you might be saved. I pray that God would bless His Word here this morning. Let's stand, if you would, Brother Brian, as we would, as we sing. Pray that God will help. I know that there's things that we must do, but I also know there's things only God can do. I know I preach His Word, but only God can bless it. Only God can make it real to you. And I know today that you, as a lost person or as a saved person, you've got to come before the Lord. But only God can make that real. Only God can do it for you. And I pray that God would bless you today in that blessing of salvation, or in blessing of you just knowing that He's with you. Because that's don't miss Jesus. In all things you do, don't miss Jesus. Let's stand, if you would, as we sing, please.